Hey, you guys ready to get into the Word of the Lord tonight? All right. Okay, cool. Yeah. Praise God. Hey, listen, I'm excited because we're continuing on in our series that we've been doing the past couple of weeks, and we're going to continue on in it in the next couple of weeks as well, in John the 15th chapter. And we're talking about the title of tonight's message, along with the other ones, is Connected in the Vine. And tonight's part three. And we're going to go through, if you recall, the first night we went through John the 15th chapter, we talked about some basic principles of Christianity, that Jesus Christ is the vine, the true vine. There are other vines, we know that. There are, you know, the vines of philosophy and the vines of universalism and other types of world religions. But Jesus Christ says that I am the true vine. We also know that God is the vine dresser. He is the one that attends to the vine. He is the one that looks after it, the one that plants it, the one that keeps it. And then we also learned on that first night that you and I, if we be in Christ, if we profess ourselves to be Christians and we live a life after Jesus Christ, we are the branches in that true vine. Last week was the tough message, if you recall, in John 15 chapter, where he says in verse number 2 that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And if you didn't get a hold of that message, if you weren't here, I encourage you to go online to www.rockchurch.com and you can check us out online. You can get the message there for free. I encourage you to hear. It's a message that was tough. As those of you who are here remember, as a pastor, I said it was one of those messages that I didn't want to preach. I was hoping to skip by that, to skate by it, but the Lord really pressed upon my heart to share it. And so, you know, the book of John in the 15th chapter is such a great, impactful grouping of scriptures as Jesus Christ is going and he's talking to his disciples and he's continuing on before he goes on to the cross. And John the 15th chapter, he's just pushing it, man. And I tell you what, there's just a wealth of scripture. There's a wealth of understanding. And it's one of those things, if you recall last year, we went through Romans the 8th chapter. And there was just such a knowledge and such a wellspring of information from that. And I believe that John the 15th chapter is there. But it begins, and when we read over it, when we read over these first couple of chapters, we say, yeah, I know what he's saying, I know what's going on. But when we read over, it's easy to just kind of grab a hold of some of these concepts, of some of the things that Jesus is saying here, and kind of skip past them to the things that we want to hear, and to the gospel that we actually want to understand, and the good things. And sometimes we read over the Bible, I don't know if anybody else has ever been this way, when you read something, and it's a little tough, it's a little hard to digest, you're kind of like, ooh, I don't know how I feel about that, and you're just kind of like, okay, I'm going to read the next verse, and then you read the next verse, and the next verse, and then all of a sudden you find something else, and you're like, okay, I like that, I'm gonna kind of set my heart upon that. And it's easy for you and I, and for us as Christians, to kind of skip over the things that, one, maybe we don't understand, or maybe kind of a hard concept to grasp, or on the other hand, to skip over things that just are hard for us to digest, are hard for us to understand, that man, that just rubs me the wrong way, I'm just not sure about that, Pastor Luke. And it's easy for us to kind of skip over those and to stay into the wonderful sanctification of who we are in Christ and those uplifting type messages. And I'm not coming to say that tonight's the downlifting type message, but it's one of those messages that I believe it's important for you to hear. So I encourage you tonight to keep your eyes open and keep your ears open to what God has. Open your hearts to what God has for you in the Word tonight, because I believe that if you grab a hold of this, that you will truly be impacted, and you'll have a better understanding for where it is maybe you are in your life, and what's ahead as you walk with a Christian, as you walk with a Christian as with God. And tonight, you know, as I was going through it, the second chapter, we're still in the second verse, I'm sorry, not the second chapter, the second verse, we're still in that second verse, and I was going to try to push through it tonight. I was going to try to get to that third verse, and next week, and I just started going over, and I started developing the message that God had for me, and I tell you what, I just couldn't get all this information. You know, for those of you who are here, you know that I can talk fast, and if I would have kept trying to push it, tonight would have been one of those messages. So I believe that there is more in this message than just one night's worth, so I know that we're going to continue on in this as well. But let's dig into it. In John, I don't know why. In John, the 15th chapter, verse number 2, we're talking about Jesus Christ being the vine, and he says, I'm going to just read verse number 1 because I like to continue on in the thought. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So tonight, we're going to talk about pruning. Last night we talked about, last week we talked about taking away and godly steps of discipline and so forth. But tonight we're going to talk about those who bear fruit. Now I want to give you a little bit of theology, a little bit of biblical studies here. And I want to give you the word. It doesn't matter if you write it down. I'm not trying to tell you to like memorize Greek words. But I want to share with you some insight on the Bible and the way it was translated. The word for prune there in the second verse is the Greek word kathairo. And that Greek word kathairo, its primary meaning means to cleanse or from filth or impurity. Interesting. And then its secondary meaning is to prune trees or vines. I love this part. I made this bold in my notes so that I would emphasize on this. To prune trees or vines from useless shoots. Now, what's a shoot in a vine or a tree? A shoot, if you look at a tree, you've got the anatomy. Let's go over a little bit of botany here. You've got the anatomy of a tree. You've got the trunk. You've got the main system. You've got the roots, right? And then from the roots, the roots are connected to the trunk. The trunk is connected to the branches. And then if you know, the branches have shoots. The shoots are the little tiny sticks that the leaves are attached to. They're the little tiny pieces. And eventually, if you let those shoots continue to grow over the period of years and decades, in some cases, those shoots also become branches and that tree begins to grow. So here, the definition of prune is to trim useless shoots. Now, I think that's interesting because in our lives, if we equate our lives like Jesus is doing to a vine, you and I know that there are shoots, there are branches, there are leaflets here and there and things that we have our hands in all facets of life. I mean, we've got family, we've got loved ones, we've got friends, we've got hobbies, we've got skills, we've got desires, we've got visions, we've got dreams, we've got, friends, work, whatever it may be. There are all sorts of shoots. So if you can get that visual presentation of yourself, you know, picture yourself as a branch. Okay, now you're a piece of wood, all right? And you've got the shoots. And all those different shoots, all those different little vines, all those different little branches in your life are the different facets of what it is that you grab a hold of, what it is that makes you you. You know, I can say for me right now, I've got shoots. I've got my wife, she's a shoot. My son, he's a shoot. My family, they're shoots. Okay? My job, that's a shoot. That's a branch. It's a section of my life. It's a piece of me, but it's not the same as my wife. You see, so there's difference there. There's each one of them is different. I've got my hobbies. Those are shoots. And so we have different facets of our life. And the term to prune here, you're killing me. The term to prune here means to trim away those useless shoots. So that means that we have productive shoots, we have productive branches in our lives, we have productive avenues of things that we pursue, things that we grab a hold of, things that we believe, things that are influencing our life. Those are there are productive branches in our life. But then also that means that there are useless or unproductive branches in our life. And they may not cause us any harm, they may not be doing us any bad, but the Bible says that in John, in the 15th chapter, verse number 2, he says that if you're bearing fruit, God is going to come and he's going to trim you as a branch, as a member of that vine, so that you can bear more fruit. And I want to give you a little example. I've got this tree in the front of my house. I believe it's called a fruitless pear tree, although my brother-in-law ate some fruit of it, so I'm not quite sure now what it is. It's dark, it's purple, and it has those two little sticks on each side of the branch. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen those new housing communities where they lack big trees. I live in one of those where it's all sun and there's no big trees except for the ones that have the little two sticks because the tree is not strong enough yet to support itself. So my wife and I, we were out and we were at the nursery looking at the nursery, not the baby nursery, but the plant nursery, I guess, looking at trees for our backyard. And we began to talk to the lady that was running the nursery. And I mean, she had every tree down. I mean, she knew the ins and outs, the lattice, the genus, the genus, whatever it was. And she's talking about all the stuff. And she gave us some advice about some trees. And she says, listen, if you buy this tree, I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to give you directions. I'm going to give you some instructions to go along with this tree. So we said, okay, what's going on? She says, you're going to take this tree, you're going to plant this tree. And every year, I want you to cut 1/3 of all the growth off of that tree. I thought, man, that's like brutal. You're going to cut this tree. You're going to cut this beautiful tree back, these beautiful purple leaves and all these things, and it's going to look great. And all of a sudden, you're going to cut it down. You're going to make it bare. But what she was explaining is that when you cut the new growth out of the tree and you trim it back, what you're doing is you're forcing the tree to look more so to its root system, to look more so to its branches, to more so to its trunk, to strengthen itself so that when time comes after the period of a couple years, you won't have to have those two little sticks on the side like the ones in my front yard that are 10 years old, but yet they still have those sticks on the side because we haven't paid any attention to them. And so that's the basis here of pruning and Jesus referring to the Christians, to you and I as members of the vine and the grapevine. If you look down, if you remember back to the examples of those grapevines in the Napa Valley, we all can picture those, or even Temecula. You don't even have to go all the way up to Napa Valley. Let's go a little bit more south. We'll go to Temecula. You can get those pictures of the grapevines and those expansive fields of symmetrical rows laid out. It is a painstaking job that every year the vine dresser, the people that are in charge of those vineyards, have to come and they have to prune those vines because I'm going to read you a little quote out of a book that I was reading about this called The Secrets of the Vine. The man's name is Bruce Wilkinson. I love what he says here. He says, "Left to itself, a grape plant will always favor new growth over more grapes. The result? From a distance, it's luxurious growth. It's an impressive achievement. But up close, it's an underwhelming harvest." And what we see is that in nature, the grape plant, a plant in general, I've got this lemon tree that's in my backyard that it used to give us really good lemons, and we stopped paying attention to it. And now all of a sudden, every year when it comes time for lemons on that tree, we don't get any lemons. But that tree has great green leaves. It looks like a cool little tree. You can tell it's a citrus tree. But left to itself, if we don't do something, if we don't step in and intervene, that plant is going to favor new growth. It's going to say, I want big, thick, green leaves because that's what's good. It looks like I'm healthy. But that's not what we're after, because a tree or a plant, a vine that doesn't bear grapes does no good to the vineyard. It does no good to the vine dresser. All of a sudden, you've got this wonderful, beautiful, long, draping, green vine. But when harvest time comes, when it comes time to examine and look between the leaves and find the fruit and what is this thing bearing, all of a sudden we look and we see there's no fruit. Left to itself, a grape plant will favor growth over fruit. You know what the interesting thing is also left to itself, you and I will favor growth over fruit. Because the bottom line is pruning is not as simple and it's not an easy task for us to endure. Oftentimes pruning hurts. Pruning is the process of cutting away something that belongs to us. You and I aren't plants. We're not trees. We have a nervous system. We have emotions. We have feelings. We have connections. We have ties. And now all of a sudden when God steps in and he says, I'm going to start to prune you so that you can bear more fruit, we're not like some grape plant or some vine that you can cut the branch off and all right, we continue on. It hurts. When something happens and when something is removed from us, whether it be useful or useless, and it's removed from us, it's a painful process. And if you recall last week, we talked about discipline from God for those who don't bear fruit. Oftentimes, pruning can seem like discipline because they both hurt. Discipline, like if you remember like what we talked about last week, some of you guys are in the dark because you weren't here. I encourage you again to get online because it's an important message and you need to hear it. But discipline is something like a father to a son. It's not something that the father wants to do, and it's not something that the son wants to do, but it's better for the son so that later on in life they don't end up running into the street after the car or after the ball and get hit by a car. So discipline steps in. God steps in and he says, hey, gets your attention, tries to distract you, tries to teach you what is right and what is wrong. And now pruning comes in and all of a sudden you feel that pain. Oh, did I just get punished? Oh, am I, God, what am I doing wrong? Ah, ow, you're cutting things away. It hurts. What's going on, God? What have I done wrong? And we begin to examine our life for sin and say, God, is there something in my life that's causing me to go through this? Is there sin? And it's easy to get pruning and discipline mistaken because they both hurt. But the bottom line is discipline is out of sin. Pruning is out of blessing, is out of the goodwill for you to bear more. The remedy for discipline, if you recall from last week, if you are in a period of discipline, if you are in a period of God getting your attention to stop you from what you're doing so that you might actually bear fruit, if you recall, if you're in that period, the way to get out of discipline is to stop. Right? You stop, discipline stops. The way to get out of pruning is to allow God to finish the job. There's a difference. Sin is based out, or discipline is based out of sin. Pruning is based out of good fruit. So here we see that there are actually two different things. And just like any loving parent, any vine dresser, anybody that puts their attention to something that is valuable to them, they would never put you in a situation, like a parent should never put their child in a situation where they're being disciplined and not knowing why. So if you're in this period of your life, and if, as we go through these things tonight, and you feel like, Pastor Luke, I can't tell right now if I'm being disciplined or if I'm being pruned, and I've asked God if there's sin in my life, but I can't tell. I encourage you tonight to seek after God. The Bible says in James that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God would give to him who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He would give to them if he believes in faith that he receives it. And then he goes on to say, if you don't believe that you're going to get wisdom from God, you're going to be like a double-minded man, you know, driven like a wave tossed by the sea. But he says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask, and in faith, let him receive it. So just like God being the loving father that he is, God being the vine dresser that he is, if you're not sure whether it's discipline or whether it's a pruning period of your life, ask God. The Bible says that if you ask, he would give you the wisdom to say, listen, this is what's going on. I'm trying to grow you. I'm pruning so that you can bear more fruit. Or he'll say, hey, this is the area of your life that you need to stop. You need to knock it off. God is the loving father. He's not out here to like a kid on an anthill with a magnifying glass to cause you pain because the big man in the sky likes to do that. That's not God's design. But God says, listen, I'm going to do something. I'm going to cause you a little bit of pain. But in the long run, in the end, fruit will be better. You may be bearing some fruit, you may be not. But he says, in the end, if you listen to me, if you allow me to be in control, and you let me do what I'm going to do, in the end, you will bear more fruit. And then the bottom line is fruit is more valuable than leaves. Because what the leaves accomplish for the vine, other than to let the vine grow, but the fruit gives the vine its identity. You understand that? So if you have fruit, all of a sudden, now you have an identity, you have a purpose. But if you have leaves, if you're just sitting there and all of a sudden your fruit's withering away, there's no identity. You're just a plant. Now, you're not just literally a plant. We're speaking examply or image, what is that, pictorially, graphically, thank you, metaphorically. All right, any more words you want to chip in from the front row? Goodness. So listen, and you know, back that front row off a little bit next time. Tonight, I want to take a look at godly pruning. And obviously, I believe that there's so much on this subject that I could not try to fit this all in one week. So I want to take a couple things tonight, and then we'll finish it up next week. But I want to give you some thoughts on pruning based on the Bible, based on some examples of the Bible. Number one tonight on thoughts on godly pruning or biblical pruning. Number one, pruning comes from bearing fruit. Now, I want you to understand that, and I want to hit that home really quick because pruning doesn't come because you are a member of the vine. Pruning comes because you are bearing fruit. Now, if you recall back to last week, I keep referring back to it, but if you recall, Jesus says, listen, if you are in me, he says, any branch in me, speaking of Christians, he's not saying any branch out there in the world. He's saying any branch in me, as a part of this vine right here, he says, if you're not bearing fruit, you will be cut off, you will be removed. He says, listen, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to get you to that place where you can bear fruit. But if you don't bear fruit, then I'm going to cut you off and remove you because you're going to be toxic to the rest of the plant. But then all of a sudden he comes and says, now if any plant does bear fruit, I will prune so that he can have more fruit. So let's understand that. First of all, if you're in the process of being pruned, that's a good thing because now all of a sudden you can look back and you can understand that there is fruit in your life. There is something that you are doing right. Pruning comes from acting in the right way, from living that life that God has asked you. Pruning does not come from running from God. Pruning does not come from hiding from what God has called you to do. Pruning does not come from trying to duck out of what God has asked you to do, to go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Pruning does not come to try to duck out of, you know, laying hands on the sick so that they would recover. Pruning doesn't come from trying to dodge out of what God has asked you so that you can come and sit in a church and listen to some guy talk, and then go do your daily life for the week and then come back the next week. That's not about fruit. Pruning comes from when you actually begin to bear fruit. And now all of a sudden that identity, people can see it. It's not something that's just about what you say, who you are, what you profess to be, but now all of a sudden it's evident. Fruit is the evidence of who we are, right? You guys recall a couple months ago, we talked about the contrast. Remember good fruit and bad fruit? And the fruit is the evidence. I just said earlier, the fruit is the identity of the plant. So all of a sudden, if there is no fruit, there is no identity. Therefore, there is no way to tell whether you are a part of the vine or you are not. Whether you are actually living for what God has asked you to do, to living according to what God's will and his way is in your life. Or all of a sudden, if you do have fruit, now all of a sudden we see that this is a good thing. And you can expect that if you have fruit. Man, I just got somebody saved, Pastor Luke. You don't understand. The blessings are, God is just, he's touched my heart. He's blessed my life. I'm so excited because I look back to where I was last year, Pastor Luke, and I'm not the same. Now all of a sudden I can look back and I can see that there is fruit in my life. Guess what? Something's a-coming. It's called pruning. But it's not a bad thing. I have to emphasize, church, young adults, people, listen, pruning is not a bad thing. It's something that we kind of, oh, no, please, please don't cut that away. But in the end, when in hindsight, you've heard that term, hindsight is 20/20. When you look back and you see what God has done, those branches, remember the definition? Useless branches, useless shoots. All of a sudden we look back and we say, ah, that hurt. But then you look back and say, wow, man, the fruit is so much more worth it. You know, I look back and it's not as bad as I thought it was at the time. But right then it was tough. But then all of a sudden we look back and we can see that the fruit is more, that the evidence of who we are stands out. And in Matthew, the 7th chapter, I'll just throw this up on the overhead. Jesus speaking about wolves in sheep clothing. He gives the church a warning. He gives his people a warning. And he says, listen, beware of these people who come and they say that they're prophets. And then he comes along and he says in verse number 16, he says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Jesus says to you and I, he says, listen, look out for those people that come and they say that they're Christians. Look out for those people that come and they try to teach you what you might think is the right way, because he says you will know them by their fruit. But he says a good tree cannot bear bad fruit and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Luke. I know people. I've seen Christians who are living in sin, yet they've bared good fruit. I've seen fruit come out of their life. Now, that doesn't make sense. I mean, that kind of contradicts what Jesus is saying, that you can live. I've seen people in the business world, and they've had good fruit. I mean, good things have come from that. The bottom line is going back to that statement that a plant will always favor growth over fruit. And when you look at it from a distance, when you look at it from a glance, when you look at it from just a, you know, oh, okay, I see them from over there. Yeah, it does look like they're doing pretty good. Yeah, it looks like they got a hold of God and they're doing really good. And it looks like, you know, they're happier now and they're doing this. But then all of a sudden, if you begin to sift through those branches and you begin to look a little closer and you begin to examine, you'll see that that fruit doesn't exist in what you thought it was, because we do have the ability to put on a facade. There are plants out there, like Jesus is saying, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. There are plants out there that mimic other plants. There are plants out there that look like poison ivy, and then there are plants that are poison ivy. There are plants that out there that look like grapevines that are not grapevines. There are plants out there that look like boysenberry bushes, but they're not boysenberry bushes. They're actually toxic. We talked about this last week. There are mushrooms, right? That look like mushrooms that are, oh man, those are good. The ones that are in my backyard right now, those look great. They look like the kind that you buy from the store, but they're not the same type of mushrooms you and I eat. Because the mushroom here will never at any point be a good mushroom. It won't magically change. It won't magically say, okay, here I am. That poisonous berry plant growing wild in the forest won't magically become a grape plant because all of a sudden it decides to. It is what it is, and we are what we are. So if you're bearing fruit, you're either bearing good fruit or you're bearing bad fruit. You may have a good moment here and there. You may have a facade that looks good. You may be doing everything that looks right on that surface. But when you dig into the heart, because God told Jesse, who anointed David as the king, remember that? When he said, listen, don't look at all the buff brothers. He says, God doesn't look at man like that. God looks at the heart. He doesn't judge man like we do. So all of a sudden when we begin to pull those branches and we begin to pull those leaves apart and God begins to examine what the plan is, it will either be good fruit or it will be bad fruit. And if we're bearing good fruit, pruning comes. And pruning is a good thing. It's something to be encouraged by. It's something to understand that, you know what? This is an opportunity that God is placing on me. While it hurts in the moment, when I look back and when I go back to where this is coming from, and I look back in the future and I come back to this point, I can understand that, you know what? At this point, it's not bad anymore. But I can look back and I can see now there is fruit yielded. And now I can see that I am a good tree and I am bearing good fruit. And you know what? People will know me. Not because of what I say. I could say anything. We could say anything. We could profess to be Christians. How many of you guys know that? You've met somebody that way that's professed to be a Christian. That said, oh, I love God. And all of a sudden you see them in their natural environment when they get around their buddies, their homies, right? When they get around their workplace and all of a sudden their language changes, their countenance changes, what they talk about changes. Now all of a sudden you say, ah, that was talk. That is fruit. And Jesus, you know, I mentioned it on Wednesday night. The Bible tells us don't love in tongue. Don't say that you love somebody in tongue and just in professing it, but do it in word and or do it in deed. In action. The Bible tells us that actions speak louder than words. So you know, we can profess to do anything. We can profess to have fruit. We can claim that we have it. But if we don't, it's going to show up. No matter what. We can't hide it. When the examination comes, the fruit will be there. And the Bible tells us, Jesus says, you will know us by our fruit. So tonight, talking about pruning. Pruning comes from fruit. So if you have fruit, guess what? You're going to get pruned. If you don't have fruit, guess what? You're going to get disciplined so that you can have fruit. So then guess what? You can get pruned. We can't avoid it. It's all good, though. It's all right. The bottom line is that pruning comes from when you have fruit. I have that lemon tree in my backyard. It doesn't have any fruit. I don't prune it. And I'm not trying to prune it. As a matter of fact, now, I'm going to rip that lemon tree out because that lemon tree has not bared any more fruit and therefore it must be cast out. So the same thing goes. If there is fruit, there you go, see? We would be known by our fruits. You know, when Pastor Jim asked me to take over shift last year, you recall I've shared this, I adamantly opposed it. I said, no, we had this big staff planning meeting in January of 2010. And I was just like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to do the video. I'm not there. It's not where my heart is. And all of a sudden, God, man, he started pruning, dude. He started shearing and hacking away. And it was like, ow, ooh, ah, ah. And all of a sudden, things started changing in my life. My priorities began to shift. And all of a sudden, March, from January to March, when they asked me again, my opinion changed. And I said, yeah, you know, I know that's what God wants me to do. And I'm going to step in and I'm going to do it. And it was hard. It was hard for Stacy and I to adapt to our new lifestyle. It was tough. It hurt. We fought. We didn't agree on things. And it was, ah. But now we look back and it's like, okay. All right. Oh, it wasn't that bad. Okay, God's got us covered. He's never going to leave us somewhere that we can't handle it. So pruning comes from bearing fruit. When I accepted to take over shift, it was because of the fruit that was in my life that God said, I understand that you're faithful, and I know that you can do this, and I'm gonna cut some things back. I'm going to cut some things out. I'm going to remove some thoughts and some feelings so that you can bear more fruit. And here I am a year later. I love this. I wouldn't change it for the world. It's just amazing. Number two tonight. Pruning is uncomfortable. Duh. Man, Pastor Luke is deep tonight. You're talking about a lot of stuff. Woo! That's some obviousness right there, right? Pruning is uncomfortable. Because why? Pruning is that process of cutting something away that is attached to you and I. That something could be anything. There's no formula. There's no like, this is it. Pruning will be this, 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 and this. That pruning will vary from person to person. I'll just tell you that right now. That pruning could be anything from a relationship to a friend to a family member to a job to a career to a hobby to a thought process to a dream. Anything. The sky is the limit with what God says he's gonna remove. But, you know, in the process, we understand that it's going to hurt. It's painful. But the bottom line is that if we look to what the future is and we give God the authority and the ability to step into our life, then all of a sudden we entrust God with our lives and we say, you know what? I know this hurts, God, but I know that there's something better. You know what the beautiful thing about it is that God didn't come to this world and say, you know what? I'm going to prune you if you bear fruit so that you can bear more fruit. And that's just the principle of it without understanding first the process. If you think about it, Jesus Christ came to this world, and from his entire life, it was a life of pruning. It was a life of people rejecting him, of people testing him, of people questioning him, of people accusing him, of people trying to kill him. And all of a sudden, at the end, a life of Jesus Christ sitting on that cross, or being nailed to that cross, beaten bloody mess, and giving his life, the ultimate sacrifice, so that you and I could understand that not only does God say, listen, because you bear fruit, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to cut some things back. It's going to hurt, but it's going to be good in the end. He says, you know, I'm not just going to say that to you. I'm going to live it out. And he gave us the ultimate example of Jesus Christ to come to this place, to come to this world, you know, to smell the stench of a manger, to be a 12-year-old, to be in the body of a child, to teach the word of God and to have people not listen to him, to have people reject him, to have people question him and tell him that he's false and to accuse him and try to pick up stones and try to trap him. And he says, I'm going to live through that. I'm going to live a life of hardships and I'm going to ultimately give of myself so that you can understand that I can experience pain with you and that when you're going through those times of uncomfort, God, that hurts. Why? Please stop. I prefer growth, God. Forget the fruit. I'm fine. He says, no, I've been there with you. I've done this before. I know the pain that you're going through, and I know that on the end, it's going to be better. And so pruning is uncomfortable. Pruning hurts. Pruning doesn't feel good. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse number 6, verse number 7, I'll just throw it up on the overhead. Peter writing to the church, he says, listen, in this greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested in fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter's saying, listen, church, there are going to be times in your life, guaranteed, that you're going to be faced with trials, faced with hard times, faced with those periods of pruning, of pain, of suffering, of of removing those things that are valuable to you that you thought were once the way you to go. But he says, if for a while you endure that, know that it's to test out, to prove that your faith, like gold, you've heard of the refining process. What do they do with gold and precious metals and silvers? They burn it. They melt it. They destroy its form so that it becomes a liquid, so that all the impurities, you remember that definition of pure of pruning? Do you remember that? To remove the impurities, to remove those things. What did I say it was? Let's see. To cleanse filth or impurity. So all of a sudden he gives us the example of being refined. He says, listen, like gold, we melt it down so that those impurities, those things that are useless, those things that do not help you to be who you are, that are be more valuable than that shiny and precious metal, to remove those so that we can sift those off the top and we can pour you into a form and mold you into what God has been, so that now all of a sudden you once might have been dull, you once might have been, you know, a little bit of speckled with black or silver or iron. Now all of a sudden you are refined in a fire. You have been molded, you have been transformed, and you are like gold, he says. And the process of pruning is difficult, it's painful, that for a while we may have to be grieved. That grieved, it's not an easy word to understand. That implies that, listen, there's going to be hardships. But he says, if for a while you can endure that, so that why? Your faith can be tested so that you could be glory. And you could be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in the end, things are better than when they started. Why? Because of the pruning process. It's not easy. It doesn't feel good. But if you can endure it, if you can make it, in the end, you'll be better off than you were in the beginning. So that's the bottom line with pruning, is that pruning hurts. You know, in my example, in my life, a couple months ago, almost a year now, I stopped playing a sport that was very dear to my heart. I got involved with my brother-in-law to play hockey, and it was just a great time. It was so much fun. You know, I played hockey while I was in high school, and it was just something that I enjoyed doing. It was something that I've always had a little fire in my heart about. And so my brother-in-law and I started playing hockey, and we got involved on this team. It was great. We got these connections with this professional sports team in Ontario, and we got to go play in the big stadiums. I got to go play in the Anaheim Pond with not with the Ducks, but after a Ducks game, people were kind of still sitting there. We got to play and have a little scrimmage. And it was like, dude, I'm playing on the same ice that the Ducks just skated on right after a game. I mean, it was so cool. And I was like, so like, oh, this is just awesome, Lord. Thank you, because I remember back in the day, I had to make sacrifices because hockey games were on Sunday. And then all of a sudden, I started to look at my life, and I started to examine, and God started to reveal things to me. And all the games were on Sundays on one season. And I said, it's okay, I got vacation. So I'm going to take a vacation for this service. I'm going to take a vacation day for this service. And it's just every once in a while. And so I began to take those vacation days, and I began to go out and play those hockey games. And you know what? For a while there, it was great. I had a bunch of fun. And then all of a sudden, the team started to have drama. The team, like the camaraderie that was there, just started to kind of, everybody started to dislike each other, and I just started feeling dry about it. Like, man, I don't want to be around these guys. I don't want to do this anymore. My attitude about this sport that I had once loved and I was thanking God that he allowed me to do, now all of a sudden my attitude began to change. And then got to the point in September when I told the team, listen, I'm not going to renew my membership to the team this next season because I don't want to be a part of it right now. I just don't think that's what's going on. And I was heartbroken. I remember telling my wife, man, maybe I can go and step in on the games and I can play as an alternate on the team, or I can still have my jersey with my name on it. And I remember I was heartbroken about it, and I spent all this money on this gear and I packed it up into a bin. And my wife's just sitting there like, psh, another hobby, you know. But at the same time, I remember I was heartbroken about it. I was just, oh God, I love this. Now I can look back almost a year later and I can see that was a pruning period in my life. And it hurt. It was God changing my attitude. It was God changing my mindset. It was God setting his hand upon the team saying, listen, this isn't going to be fun. I'm going to get this to a point that it's going to start to rub you the wrong way. So that all of a sudden you sort of say, this isn't it. This was fun, but now what's wrong? God, I thought this was something great. And I can see now that it was God pruning my life to say, listen, You are bearing fruit. You had just taken over the young adult service, but now you're skipping out on services, legitimately, through vacation time. But he says, you're skipping out on me to do this. And this isn't the timing. This isn't what I've called for you. And I'm thinking, no, God, please, not hockey. Take mountain biking or take this or take that. But then all of a sudden, it started to hurt. And it started, and I backed out. And I was bummed. My brother would tell me, oh, man, dude, there was this one play, and they did this and this, and they scored. Everyone was like going crazy, and they were banging on the glass. And I'm like, oh, I could have been there. But now I look back at a year later. And you know what? I don't regret it. I don't miss it. I don't feel that pain. I don't feel that remorse of not playing anymore. Because now I understand that because God was saying, listen, this is something. It's a branch in your life. You're having a great time. And it seems like it's useful to you. It's not useful to the fruit that you could be bearing. And remember, we said that definition of pruning is to remove those useless branches. And God says, listen, this isn't benefiting you in any way. And now all of a sudden he cuts that branch off and, it hurt. But now I look back and I don't regret it. I don't see the pain. I don't see the remorse in there anymore, because it was a period of God saying, you know what? It's okay. There are better things ahead of you. And now my life is filled with so much more fruit. I've got my son now. I've got all other types of hobbies that have come in. But you know, these hobbies that I do now, they show me God in my hobbies. It's wonderful. It's nothing better than being out there in the wilderness is what's one of my hobbies. So anyway, pruning is uncomfortable. Finally tonight, pruning. Less is more. This is one that we have a hard time grabbing hold of, I think, especially in our society, because of the material needs and the material demands that have been put upon us, that it's good to have things. It's good to be a person of stature, of status, to have the shoes, to have the clothes, to have the car, to have the house, to have the money, to have the grill, whatever. Some of you are like, what? No, I know. It's not good. You may think it's good, but in 20 years it's not. Less is more. You know, with the fruit plant, like we talked about the vine, it will favor growth. It will favor expansion over fruit. But at some point, fruit has to come in to give that vine identity. You look at the economy. The economy favored expansion, rapidly growing housing markets. Man, people are buying and going crazy. Right? Things are just going nuts. The economy, the world, the money system favored expansion, favored commerce over fruit, over the solidity of what are we investing our time and our money in. And then when it came time to show what the fruit was really made of, look at what the economy came down to. Where did the stocks go? Where did the housing market go? Where did what we put our money and our financial trust in go? Because oftentimes we as people, because of the stature of society, we favor having a bunch of stuff. And I'm not necessarily even just talking about stuff. I'm just talking about things. Things in our life. We like to have different avenues, different areas, different hobbies, different dreams. We like to get it all together and diversify. But the basis of pruning is oftentimes less is more. Let's look at the reason why pruning, when it comes to a plant, is essential. When you have a plant, let's look at a grape plant. You guys can picture, everybody can picture a grapevine, right? That big, long vine. When you've got a grapevine, and all of a sudden you look at it, and it's just teeming with leaves. I mean, it's just covered with leaves everywhere. It's like you can't even see the wood. Wow, that looks like a healthy plant. But what it's doing is it's actually robbing the fruit from getting the sunlight, from getting the water, from getting the nutrients that the fruit needs to grow, to expand, to give that plant the identity of which it is. And oftentimes in our lives, we begin to do that. We begin to grow and let our leaves of our branches, of our dreams, of our family, of our friends, of our society, of what it is that we chase after, of our cars, of our stature, of what people say about us on Facebook. We begin to let that grow to a point where it looks like everything's going good. Things are going great. You don't understand. I got this career path going, or my friends are saying this, and you don't understand. My family, they're happy with me right now because I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And we begin to concentrate on what the outward appearance is. And we begin to choke out the nutrients to the fruit. And we begin to choke out and rob the fruit, that which gives us the identity, that which places us in the vine. We begin to rob ourselves of that. And the fruit begins to wither and decay, and it doesn't grow. And now all of a sudden we have fruit, but it's hidden. We have fruit, but it's not effective. And when it comes time for harvest, when it comes time to show what it is that we're made of, to show what it is that we have, We don't have what God has called us to have. We have less. We're not living to the potential that God has given us. And it's because we allow ourselves to grab a hold of things. I remember, I'm going to use Brittany as an example. She was having a hard time a couple weeks ago with the internship and about whether or not she should stay and whether or not she should go. She has the time, she said. I don't know, I'm just not sure, she said. And I told her, I said, listen, sometimes less is more. Why is it that maybe this is a season in your life that God is going to begin to remove? It's hard. It hurts to stop. It's hard. You've lived this way. And now all of a sudden it's not there anymore. And it's hard. It hurts. But it's a season. And saying, God says, listen, you've got this going on. You've got this going on. You've got this going on. And I'm going to cut this out. And I'm going to cut this out. And I'm going to pull this back. So now all of a sudden that fruit can shine. The sun can hit it. Those grapes, the oranges, whatever it may be, can be bigger. They can grow stronger. They can be more pungent and flavorful. And God says, listen, in our lives, oftentimes there are things that we think are good for us. We think that are beneficial to us. But the bottom line is they're beginning to rob us of the fruit, of the potential that God has for you and I. So fruit, less is more. I'm going to bring you to Judges, the 7th chapter. If you've got your Bibles, let's turn there, because I'm going to have some stuff that's up there that's not on the overhead. While you turn, I'm going to tie my shoe. Well, you all tie your shoes. What's so funny about me tying my shoe? You just don't ever see a guy up here tying their shoe. So here in Judges, the 7th chapter, and we're going to end on this. A man by the name of Gideon is out, and he's threshing wheat. He's out there, he's smashing it down, he's trying to get the grain off the wheat, all right? He's just doing his job, or basically. And the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, listen, I'm gonna use you to defeat the Midianites. And Gideon says, listen, man, my tribe, the people who I call myself, the family that I am of, I am, like, we're the weaklings. We're the bottom of the rung people. And he says, of the bottom of the rung people, I am the bottom of that bottom rung. I am like the dirt on the bottom of the rung, he says. And God says, listen, I'm going to use you to gather up and to defeat the people that are coming against you, the Midianites. And so him and God begin to dialogue. And God sets it upon his heart. And so here in the 7th chapter, this man Gideon has gathered together an army to go against this opposing force against God. And Gideon, he's this man who was cowardly in the beginning. Now all of a sudden, Gideon has raised up an army of 32,000 people. This little guy, 32,000 people. Man, Pastor Luke, that's some fruit. This little weakling was like, oh man, I can't do it. All of a sudden, he's got 32,000 people ready to fight for him. Wow, that guy's got some fruit. God really stepped in, really pushed him to the limit, right? So then God comes in Judges, the 7th chapter. In verse number 2, he says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with you are too many. Wait a minute. God said, I'm going to use you to defeat the Midianites. So Gideon says, I'm going to go do what I know how to do. I'm going to use the inspiration of the Lord. I'm going to use the power that God's given me. And I got all these people together. That's guaranteed, God, that we're going to beat these people. We're going to go. We outnumber them. And God says, listen, there are too many people for you to defeat the Midianites. Now, that doesn't make any sense according to battle strategy. That doesn't make any sense according to logic. The more people, the better, right? God says, no. There are too many people for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God says, listen, I'm glad that you got all these people together. I'm glad that you got them all. And you can do this. But he says, you know what? Now all of a sudden, that fruit that would say that God defeated the Midianites, now he says, now there's the opportunity for you to say, you know what? It's because we had so many people. It wasn't because of God. It was because we had so many people. So God says, listen, I want you to go to them. I want you to approach all 30,000 people and tell them, hey, if you're scared, get out. So Gideon goes and tells the troops, 20,000 people leave. Now he's got 10,000. Okay, all right, from 30,000 to 10,000. Praise God, let's go. All right, you know, I took a third hit, God. But we can still do it because you're in control. God comes back again. And he says, in verse number 4, but the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Now all of a sudden Gideon's saying, hey, wait a minute, God. This is a legitimate army. This isn't too big. This isn't too small. What's going on? God says, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. He says that it will be of those whom I say to you, one shall go with you, and the other
Of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So God says, I'm going to split them up into two groups. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, So God says, this is one group. People get down there and they stick their face in the water and go. And then the people have to get down and go. Okay? So God says, you put them in two groups. So he brought the people down to the water. Oh, where am I at? Verse number 6. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300. But the rest of the people all got down on their knees to drink water. So the Lord said to Gideon, those 300 out of the 10,000 men, originally out of the 30,000 men, I will now use 300. And talk about pruning. You talk about cutting back, taking away from what we thought was good. God says, listen, Gideon, you could have done it with 30,000, no problem. You could have done it with 10,000, no problem. But now you've got 300. And now you're going to go up against these Midianites. And if you lose, you're going to look like an idiot because you just sent 30,000 people away. And you're going to lose. But he says, now, but if you go before them and you trust in God, you will defeat them, and it will be evident, it will be fruitful, it will be undeniable that God stepped in. Why? Because of the fruit. Because 300 men against an entire army is impossible. But remember Jesus said in Matthew, the 7th chapter, you'll know them by their fruits. So all of a sudden we can see that less oftentimes is more. So if you've got your hand stretched in so many things that you're unable to force or unable to focus, I should say, on the word of God, you're unable to grab a hold of what God has for you. Less is often more, and God's going to say, listen, is it that workout in the morning or is it that Bible study? Oh, but they're both beneficial. I'm getting fit, I'm keeping my body, I'm taking care of it. But God says, what's better? Less is more. Is it that you know, getting together with the boys on the Thursday night or the Tuesday night or the whatever? Is that Saturday night girls' night out? Is that what's it? Or is it getting with God alone and spending some time? He says, less is more. Oftentimes we grab ourselves, especially as young people, we like to stay busy, we like to do things. We grab ourselves and we stretch ourselves in so many directions that God says, you can't focus on me because you're getting pulled here, you're getting pulled here, you're getting pulled here, you're getting pulled here. But the bottom line is, when it comes to pruning, less is more. And when we begin to have less things in our life, we can focus on the primary aspect of our life, and that's the fruit, so that we have fruit, so that we can bear more fruit. So tonight we talked about pruning, three simple things. I went way too long because I was going to try to do it. I was going to try. I'm talking to the interns because they're laughing at me. Pruning comes from bearing fruit. Pruning is uncomfortable, and pruning, less is more. Next week, we're going to finish this thought on pruning, and we're going to get to some things. But I want to encourage you today, as you leave from shift, I don't want to leave on a down note. The ouch, pruning. I want to encourage you to remember that pruning is because you have fruit. Pruning is a benefit to you, and pruning, in hindsight, in the end, in the long run, down the line, bears more fruit, bears better yield, gives you more capacity to do what God has given you, more blessings to do what God has done for you, more understanding of the Word of God, a better understanding of what God has in the world around you, and a better way to reach the people around you than before you ever had it. So you got a choice, church. You have a choice. We have a choice each and every day. God puts his hands upon our life, and he says, listen, this is something I want to pull out. Like with me in the hockey, God said, you know, this is something. I could have resisted it. I could have kicked against it. I could have gone against the flow and still be there today. But would I be reaching the potential that God had for me? Would I be living in the fruit that God has for my life? So we have a choice whether or not we can go with it and trust God, or we can stay around or stay away and do our own thing and live with fruit, sure. But not what God has. Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Praise God.